I want to read to you again from that passage of Scripture that we considered the last time when we were looking at God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 to 6, I read that paragraph that has in the heart of it this expression, the glorious gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 then, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's in verse 4 that we find that phrase, glorious gospel of Christ, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And we've been considering that however glorious this gospel is, it certainly isn't accepted by all men. It's opposed by men. It's opposed by hell itself. And it's opposed by the prince of this world, Satan himself. And we've seen here that Paul called him the God of this world. That's his name. We saw the people in whom he works, unbelievers, the lost. And we saw where it is that he endeavours with all his energy to do this work of resisting the gospel in the minds of unbelievers. That's where he works. The other thing that I would draw your attention to is not only the zeal and energy to blind the minds of men, the apostle tells us why he has this zeal, why he labours so hard, why he wants to blind minds. Why would he do that? Why would anyone want to blind men? Why would the devil want to blind men? Well, the apostle tells it. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. That's why. You see, to see the glory of Christ is to be saved. To see it is to be delivered from a lost estate. To have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive eternal life and to be free from a perishing state. And Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want men to be saved. He wants men to be destroyed and damned. He has this great enmity against the human race. He wants them to continue in a lost and perishing estate until they are beyond remedy and actually die in their sins. He is the author of death and destruction and desires nothing less than the damnation of sinners. If you're not a Christian, you need to see your condition and how you actually are described here in this text. You are described as lost, as an unbeliever, and maybe you have to acknowledge and admit, I don't see any beauty in Jesus. I don't see any glory in the gospel. And this is because of the blindness of the mind. Because the devil is the spirit of this world who works in the minds of those who have no faith in Jesus Christ. And you don't see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and have no desire to know him and no love for him. And that's why the gospel comes, and that's why the Spirit of the Lord moves in the world, to open the eyes of the blind and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And you know, if you've never seen the glory of Jesus Christ and you've never comprehended to some extent the nature of the glorious gospel of Christ, then you need to cry unto the Lord, "Open thou mine eyes, Lord, that I may see." You need to be like blind Bartimaeus, who said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, that I might see. Open thou mine eyes." And the Lord Jesus is the one who's able to open the eyes of the blind and to give the light of that glorious gospel in your heart. He said himself, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And Christians, they ought to realize too that while the gospel is glorious, they must never forget that there is an adversary in the world, that there is a wicked one who blinds men, and we must pray against Satan's strongholds. The church must pray that the devil will be restrained and defeated, and that his captives would be liberated and set free by that glorious gospel, and in the power of the Spirit, that glorious gospel, despite the devil's efforts, might shine into the hearts of men. So as Christians, as a Christian church, we ought to pray for the opening of the eyes of the blind. I also want you to draw your attention to how Paul describes this gospel. He calls it the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. What is it to him? It's glorious to him. This good news of Jesus Christ, this good news of the Redeemer, to him, it's glorious. And I should also say that Paul, who writes these words, he writes out of experience. He's one who knows. For he himself was once one of those lost, blinded ones. He knew what he was talking about when he wrote this. He was completely blind to God's truth until the darkness broke through. In fact, whenever Paul first encountered Jesus Christ, the Lord, you will remember, struck him with a literal blindness that was healed. And his eyes, both spiritually and physically, were opened to see the glory of Jesus Christ. So he knew the difference between an unconverted state and a converted state. He knew the difference between being a Jew without Jesus Christ and being a Christian through faith in Jesus Christ. It was as different as night and day to him. And that's why he can use this expression, the glorious gospel. Before he was converted, he was lost, he was blind, he was an unbeliever. He saw no beauty in Christ. In fact, he hated that name. He persecuted all who believed in Christ. He chased, even onto strange cities, those who had their confidence in that name. He made them blaspheme that precious name. That's the kind of man he was. That's how the devil had blinded him. He had such enmity. He had the enmity of hell itself in his heart. But when the gospel shone in God's mercy and grace, what a change. He saw its glory. And that's why he calls it the glorious gospel of Christ. This is the expression of a man who knows. This is how the gospel appeared to him, as something glorious. He uses this expression on other times as well. He wrote to Timothy. I use the same word, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's what it was to him. The glorious gospel of Christ. The glorious gospel of the blessed God. It's a message worthy of God. I don't think the Apostle Paul could find any higher description than that. Paul doesn't throw this expression around lightly. This is no mean name for this message of good news. This word glorious is used of God himself. Remember in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. So he knew what it meant to use an expression glorious. It's used concerning God, and yet he takes this and he applies it to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ, and he says it's glorious, it's divine, it's unique, it's heavenly. And it was Paul's delight. It was his boast. It wasn't something he was ashamed about. He gloried in it, and it was glorious to him, excited him. It stirred him up. He said, when he wrote to the Romans, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you, he says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it was glorious to Paul. Now I wonder, is it glorious to the listener? Have you no interest in the gospel? Do you reject the gospel? Do you have nothing to do with the gospel? Do you see no beauty about it, no glory in it? Are you blind to the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ? This is something you need to consider and think about as you reflect upon a text like this. It was glorious to Paul. Is it glorious to me? Have I come to meet the glorious Saviour that this gospel tells me about? You need a change in your life. You need your eyes open. You need to have faith in the Son of God and in the Saviour. And you need to be delivered from your sins. And you need to be saved from your lost, perishing estate. And the only thing that will do that is the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. As you hear it and receive it and come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sum and substance of it. Oh, have your faith in Jesus Christ.